It feels good to be back.
I'm digging it. So what'd you put in this?
We're all in the same place.
Yes, we are.
Does that mean it was hairy before you started?
Oh, hello, and welcome to The Clatch. You're listening to KVSH 101.9, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm your host, Linda Nygaard. And here at the table with me are Susan McCabe.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. And Heidi Skrypek.
Hi.
Hi, Heidi. And today we have a special guest who's sitting at the table with us, too. Please welcome Chris Austin. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
I'm so glad you're here.
I can't believe I'm on the show.
I know. I'm really glad you're here.
The show's really gone downhill. What's the matter?
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
End of the Rolodex.
You know, it's International Women's Day. I think he's an honorary woman.
He is today. You know, most of the time we do like to focus on interesting Vashonites doing interesting things and have them as guests, and you know, usually it's a woman. And someone said to me a few weeks ago, why don't you ever have any men on your show? And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. And you know, Chris was the first one I thought of, and he's a guru here at Voice of Vashon, and also he really is, and also you know, troublemaker, rabble rouser, but we let that go. So Chris is here to represent men and
yes,
and humor.
No pressure.
Maybe. Yeah, no pressure. You represent all the men in the world now.
There we go.
Anyway, I hope you can. We just had a talk about the word anyway. I'll fill you in later. It's good to be back in the studio. We have so much to talk about, and I hope that you're able to pull up a chair and sit down, listen, and maybe have some questions for later, which you can always get to us via the phone or email.
Do we want to give them that phone number?
Sure.
I don't know what it is.
It's
900.
976 KVSH.
That was our previous conversation, Chris. That's a different show.
It's 206. I have dial tone in the background. 206-408-7678.
You know, I don't know what would happen if you called us right now. I guess we'd answer it.
Yeah, we can answer it.
Anyway, so let's get with it. What are we doing? Let's see. Susan, so what's been going on? How are you? It's been a while since we've been in here.
I know. I have been overwhelmed with theater, and that mm-hmm. has subsided for the moment.
That's good.
Yes, it was good. The Exonerated was an outstanding production. Critically mm-hmm. acclaimed.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Financially.
But isn't that the name of the game in theater?
Oh, yeah.
Kind
of. Yeah, it is. But it was great. It was really a wonderful experience.
I'm so glad.
And I appreciate you guys putting up with my absenteeism. Especially when it was on short notice.
She's back, baby.
Well, you know, it's kind of been a new adventure for Susan because she's learning stage management.
Yeah.
And that's what she's doing.
That's good.
I just think that's wonderful.
It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to hook into that, like, regularly?
I think at my age it's a little late.
What does that
No, it's
mean?
Not. No, it's not. I can't believe you said that.
Well, I actually get paid by Vashon Repertory Theater to
wonderful.
Do it. And if I get really good, then they'll start coming to me.
Yeah.
That's what I wondered because I thought they were hiring for the longest time for a technical person over there at VCA specifically.
Open Space is also looking for a technical person.
Maybe that was it. Yeah. That could be
open
it.
Space.
I don't want to be a technical person.
No, I don't either.
I did enough of that here at Voice of Vashon.
Okay.
Chris can vouch for my technical inability.
We're still recovering.
Yes. Oh, no.
And we haven't even gotten to me yet. So, Heidi, what's been going on with you?
What
you thinking about?
Well, I'm thinking about Ukraine because obviously I'm obsessing, and I have two mid-20s kids, boys. So I always think, are they going to get drafted? Are we going to have a war where they're going to have to fight? And then what happens? It's like, how's that going to work? I really do think
it's
about
a valid fear right now, I think.
But not just selfishly. I want to understand what's happening in the world and watching world markets. Mm-hmm. I want to invest. If there's a dip somewhere, I want to buy that dip and watch it skyrocket. So I don't even care if it's an evil industry.
Not at this point.
I would throw my money at it if it's going to make money.
Well,
you know, I've been hearing that we should stock up on potassium iodide.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Russians are targeting nuclear facilities, and potassium iodide prevents radiation sickness. Oh. And that stuff could blow over here, guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chernobyl did.
It blew over here?
Didn't it?
I thought it did.
What the iodine does is it keeps the radiation out of your thyroid. It's not the whole body.
Oh, okay.
It's like a medicine thing you take?
Yeah, it's got a stronger bond to the thyroid cells than the radiation.
I knew there was a reason we asked you to come to the show.
he's a medical type and an historical type.
Ooh, that's a great combo. So that's on my mind. And then Tyrell Jermaine Starr, who's out in Ukraine, he's this fabulous African-American journalist who lives there 3 months out of the year. And he went to school at a historically black college out in Little Rock, Arkansas, called Philander, which sounds like Philanderer. Philander Smith College. Ended up as a Fulbright scholar in Ukraine. He's a freelance journalist forever and ever. He's written and reported for a lot of really prominent publications. And most recently, because he's such a good Twitterer, he's been picked up by all the big news networks. And they want him to report as feet on the ground. And it's funny, just following his Twitter account, he got a family to over the border because it was a family with a child that had cancer. So he basically brought him in the car and just drove like a bat out of hell and was reporting on it as he went. I'm enjoying that. If you are curious, it's Tyrell. It's double R, double L, J, star, double R. Tyrell J star. So check it out.
And is it Tyrell with a T-Y? Or
it's
T-E.
Thank you for asking. It's T-E-R-R-E-L-L-J star, two R's.
Okay.
Kind of sounds like he was texting and driving, which is really dangerous.
Totally. Yeah.
Although, talk about danger, you know.
Someone said, you shouldn't tweet. You're a mark. He goes, I'm a black man in Ukraine. I'm already a mark, which I thought was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
But Is that worse than here?
Jeez, no kidding. Mm. There are four agencies. I just want to mention really quick, if you're feeling like you want to help, you want to do something, take action. I gave to World Central Kitchen, which is run by Jose Andres out of Puerto Rico, but he goes all over the world with hot meals, and he's deployed a lot of people on the borders where all these people are defecting and, you know, running these refugees. So within Ukraine, but also on the perimeters, like in Poland and anywhere that they're crossing in major cities, there are hot meals to be served. It's really cool. So I've thrown money at them. It's WCK.org. There's also NovaUkraine.org, which the money goes to the frontline volunteers to help them help others.
Say that one again, please.
Nova, like new.
Okay.
Nova, supernova. NovaUkraine.org.
Okay.
That one affects the frontline volunteers, whereas the World Central Kitchen, WCK.org, is meals, hot meals. And then globalgiving.org, you can find, there's all kinds of different projects, but this one, they have a Ukraine crisis relief fund. And that affects children. That money is really for kids, sick kids, healthy kids, but just kids to feed them.
That's great.
And then Razon, R-A-Z-O-N for Ukraine.org is medical supplies. That they and blood,
oh, and they
you know,
blood.
That they need. Yeah.
Raison numeral for?
Raison, F-O-R, Ukraine. Thank you for asking. Raison for Ukraine.org, medical supplies.
Okay.
So those are the four. Global Giving, Nova Ukraine, WCK, and Raison for Ukraine. Those are the ones. Give.
Thank
help.
You.
Yes.
I know which one I'm going to do.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be good. It'll make me feel better.
So I'm stepping off soapbox now.
Thank you.
Sure.
No, I know. No, thank you for stepping off.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't
it's
see
about time.
Happening for
Jeez.
The long term. No.
Okay. And Chris, what you been up to?
Oh, well, working for the museum. Well, I'm on the board of the museum, so I'm doing museum-y stuff.
That's the Vashon Heritage Museum.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I do a radio show for them, History Worth Hearing.
Good.
And
when is that on, Chris?
First two Fridays of the month at 3 p.m.
Okay.
Right before the Mostly True radio show.
How convenient is that?
Yes.
Which is Chris's show, for those of you who don't know, that's Mostly True. He does a Mostly True history, too.
Do the tours. What else do I do? The website.
Yeah. And lots
I have a question.
The newspaper.
Is your History Worth Hearing true?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're pretty strict over
that's
there.
Where you tell the truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's all true and mostly true.
Boring.
Well, welcome, Chris. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Ready for some fundraisers, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What's new?
Yeah.
I mean,
who isn't fundraising?
Yeah, I was going to say everybody is. Yeah.
Good point.
So moving right along, I'd like to talk a little bit about COVID, which we always do. And what's happening, I just did a little research. Worldwide, we have now reached 6 million deaths. So that's a new figure. However, the good news is new cases have declined by 20% worldwide. So we're on the waning end of it. I don't think it's time. I mean, this is my opinion only, that it's not time to relax everything. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to be masking up and, you know, taking good care. But also, just a little tidbit about Washington State. From the beginning of the pandemic to now, there were 1.43 million cases in Washington State. Doesn't that seem like a lot?
How many people live in Washington State? Well,
I wonder what percentage of the population.
It's empty now. They're all dead.
Sounds like they're, a lot.
They're just sick.
Just us.
There have been 12,141 deaths in Washington State.
Okay. Wow.
So, you know, that's all really depressing. I think it behooves us to continue being careful.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question.
Yes.
So, we know that Asians have suffered from discrimination because of the origin of the pandemic, and which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the Spanish flu, the 1918 pandemic, which was called the Spanish flu because all the other countries over there were at war and they didn't want to say that they had their soldiers were sick. But Spain wasn't in the flu, in the war, so they announced how many people were sick. That's how it got its name.
Oh, interesting.
Is that right?
50 million people died. At least, I mean, the records, that's what they reported.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but they weren't as good at keeping records as we are, I'm guessing. I can
Its origin? Kansas.
Oh!
You're kidding!
Nope. There's a military base in Kansas. And I'm just wondering if there was this anti-American, like there is anti-Asian because of the origin of the...
Right.
I don't know. I think it's curious.
It is very curious.
I think it must have been Toto.
Yes. Yes.
Came from an animal market. That's right.
Too much kissing Toto.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
The wet market.
That's right. You know, it's Women's History Month.
It is.
And there was a Woman's History Day or a woman's, there was a day.
International.
I think
it's today.
Is it today or yesterday?
International Women's Day. Yes.
Yeah.
It's today.
And you know, we have a lot of sort of common names that we recognize for women who've done really brilliant things, like Gloria Steinem and, you know,
Susan B. Anthony
and Sarah Barton and, you know, a lot of the women that we already know. I found an article in Atlas Obscura about the cartel fighting women of Chiron, Mexico. Mm. And these women literally chased the cartel away. They took loggers hostage. They seized their trucks. And they began a war with the cartel that lasted a year.
Wow.
And the cartel is now gone.
Whoa.
From their community, which is called Pirepeca. I don't know where that is. But I just really thought that was interesting that we don't even know all that. We have never heard of that. And have you heard of the swimming suffragists?
No.
In the early 1900s, this is for you, Heidi.
Yeah, this is, I noticed that. This is good.
Okay.
In the early 1900s, women in America and England were banned from entering the water if they weren't completely covered in heavy bathing costumes.
Great.
So then in the 1910s came the female swimming pioneers known as the swimming suffragists.
I've got to Google
Instead
this.
Of wearing stocking skirts and shoes in the water, these women wore a new one-piece style of swimsuit.
Ooh, la,
it's a revelation for women's bodies.
I love that.
I know.
Stockings, shirts, and shoes in the water.
Yeah, well, look at those old pictures from Victorian days.
I didn't know they wore shoes.
I didn't know they wore shoes either. And then another one.
Heels?
Here is Brownie Mary Jane Rathbun. She was wearing a flower apron in January 1981 when she opened the door to Detective Sergeant Robert Bullard, who was undercover posing as a customer. She was selling pot brownies. When she was arrested, her only response was, oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
You will be arrested.
I'm sorry. Oh, God. I'm going to get fired. And she lobbied really hard for the legalization of medical marijuana, especially to AIDS, the AIDS patients in the 80s.
Oh, wonderful.
And she made all kinds of pot brownies for the AIDS patients.
And she kept doing it.
And she kept doing it. And she kept doing it. So there are a lot of women out there holding a pretty high bar for the rest of us, I think.
Definitely.
And today is the day.
Today is the day. Well,
I found it on the internet. It must be true.
It's
and,
true.
So here's to women, I guess.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah, I guess we did it. You know, one of the reasons that we invited Chris, too, is that he has a reputation as being a feminist. He's a big fan of women and their brains. His mom was a doctor? A lawyer.
Yes, a lawyer.
His mom was a lawyer. His sister, what did your sister?
She was an OT.
Yeah. Yeah. And awesome. And they both taught him.
Very influential. My dad died when I was 8, so they really raised me.
You were raised by women.
Yes. Yeah. And strong, funny, smart women. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. And the only other little tidbit that I have for today is that the mental health of our country, which we all know, is going downhill. And what that has resulted in is many, many, many more jobs in the mental health industry.
Available.
Yes.
You do, but you can't just jump into being a psychologist or a therapist.
No,
that takes
I know,
time,
but they're talking supposedly about the future. And of course, there are people out there who already have the degrees that might be looking for work. I don't know, but the depression and anxiety that our country as a whole is feeling right now because of COVID and now oil and gas and Russia and Ukraine. So it's getting harder and harder to find counselors. I know that Vashon Youth and Family Services has a waiting list for counseling.
Oh, man.
It's hard. It's really hard. So I don't know what my point of that is, except to say that it's happening. And if you're feeling sad and you're feeling, you know, at loose ends and you don't know what to do, I know it doesn't help much, but you're not alone. There are so many of us out there who are looking around thinking, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
How do I go through this? Who am I now?
I think, that sense of isolation just feeds the depression. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to, any kind of human contact can help. I mean, if you reach out to your friends, reach out to your family, and let's get past the, how are you? I'm fine.
The shallow.
Yeah.
I've spent $650 on water purification.
Did you?
Yesterday.
Did you?
Drinks are on you.
I just want to say, like, I'm thinking about, you know, I bought water purification tablets. I bought a really excellent ceramic, hardcore, big pumped style purification system from MSR. And some other stuff. So, and another refill cartridge. Like, I'm not playing.
Well, we don't know.
You're ready for war.
Yeah. I'm ready. So that just soothes my mental insecurities about what's going to happen if they poison the water.
Right.
You know, we
talk
about just foul play. I want to be ready.
Well,
I want to survive
grid
a little
and all
bit.
That. There's
that's
cyber.
Another thing, you know, action is the antidote to despair.
Yes. All of it.
Do something if you are feeling despairing.
Yeah. Which is sometimes the hardest thing to do if you're feeling despair.
I know.
Just to get up and go out.
True.
My mind is so warped that I look at this and I see the Ukraine flag in the yellow and the
blue.
On the Clorox label. My head
that's
is so
there. That's where our
there
heads are right now. Yeah.
I see plastic.
Well, that's yes, you do. And I want to talk to you more about that, too. We need to take a quick break and say thank you to our supporters.
Do.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at windermerevashon.com.
VOV programming support is provided by the Hardware Store Restaurant, serving great good food, free Wi-Fi, and signature cocktails in an historic 125-year-old building, the heartbeat of Vashon Island. On the web at thsrestaurant.com.
My God, those levels are hot sometimes.
Yeah,
it
was
like you should see how far down the dial is, and it's still hot. Sorry.
It went right through my right ear into my brain.
It's very unprofessional of me to
yes, it is.
Biatch about it, but I guess what I'm going to anyway.
Don't biatch anymore.
Okay, I'm done.
It's all good.
Go.
No, that's another thing we hate, isn't it?
It's all good.
We don't like that.
And
That's a different show. That's a different show. You know, a couple weeks ago, we introduced a new segment on our show that we'd like to do every time just because we need an outlet. And we call it the weekly rant. Mm-hmm. And today, Susan has a topic she'd like to share with us.
Yes, I walk every morning and I love it. And I love walking in the fog, and I love walking with or without my dogs. But on these walks, I often see people who are running their cars in their driveways to warm them up before they put their little bodies into them.
Here and, they do that?
Oh, yes, here on this very island.
Oh.
And it really infuriates me because I am an environmental fanatic. Mm-hmm. And I know they are polluting the air. The air that they breathe, the air that I am breathing, and God bless it, just put on a coat.
Yeah.
And that's right up there with other ways of ignoring your personal responsibility to the environment, like ubiquitous plastic use, like running the water to warm your coffee cup, or while you're brushing your teeth. All these things are scarce and finite, and come on, folks, use only what you need and stop throwing it away. Stop messing with my air. Stop using up my water. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's my rant for today.
Thank you. I agree with every word you said. And speaking of water, you know, we have water, and people in Ukraine don't have it now. Mm-hmm. They don't have water. They don't have food.
Crap.
They don't have heat. There are people sitting in the dark and the cold and the snow over there.
It's freezing
they can't
right
get
now.
Out. It's freezing. Yeah. And so tangential to that is everyone's griping about the gas prices now because everything's going up. And I think
STFU.
Yes, exactly. And my feeling is, you know, I'm not sitting in a basement somewhere hiding from bombs and airplanes. I'm sorry, but you know what? The great big gas guzzlers are back in style now, and everybody's driving big SUVs and big Cadillacs. And you know what? Pay for the gas then.
Europeans have been doing that for years. They've been paying. We're paying around $5 a gallon right now, which is a shock to us. But hey, you know, in World War II, Americans were much more willing to ration and to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. We're there, folks. Mm-hmm. Let's make sacrifices for the good of the world.
Yeah, it's the good of the world at stake. It really is. This time.
So drive less, walk more, ride your bike if you can.
This woman on Twitter got all up in my crotch because
she did.
No, not really.
I don't think you're using Twitter correctly.
If only.
That's not where it belongs.
That's twatter. Sorry, wrong channel.
And would you like to tell us more?
I'm
going to
replot that.
Oh, she's doing her voice. I'm sorry. It's getting hot in here. I got to take my clothes off. I'm sorry. We're going to be snorting and laughing our butts off. We're not going to be able to talk. She got mad because I said conserve. Conserve. And she said, that is the wrong conversation. That's skewing the conversation the wrong way. What we need to do is tell those greedy oil people and our politicians, you know, to lower the prices. And I'm thinking, that doesn't conserve anything. And I was wishing I had you to read this crap because I was like, really? Really? It's bad for me to say conserve? Like, get used to it.
Don't be selfish.
It can just be a little bit. Like, carpool once or... You know, like,
or stay home.
Saturday, you parked your car at my house and we jumped in and we carpooled together and that was fine.
Yeah.
One little thing. Just do one little thing. Now I'm ranting. I'm not. I'm going to stop.
That's okay.
I'm going to stop.
Okay.
It's a re-rant.
But it's true. It's true.
It's like,
I think it's a t-shirt. Conserve.
Yaman.
Yaman.
Chris. Drive, man. Drive.
Wow.
Drive.
Hey, Chris, I have a question for you. How did you get to Vashon? We always like to know.
Oh, yeah, that's a great story.
Well, it all goes back to, you want the long version or the short version?
Whatever you want to tell.
Okay. So I was a dentist for 10 years. That's the long version. Hated it. Started a software company. Turns out that was a huge mistake.
Oh.
Then I worked for paleontology department at a museum. That was wonderful, but didn't pay very much.
What'd you do there?
I mapped where they found the fossils.
Wow. how fun.
Out in the field. And I got to go out in the field every now and then.
Neat.
Oh, that was
and
fun.
I remember one time they gave me a little thumbnail sketch how to find fossils, and I'm going up this hill outside Vegas. And all I was finding was bullet-ridden, burnt-out cars. Yes, but I go up to the top of this hill, and I follow a trail, and there is a mammoth tusk.
No.
Oh. Complete mammoth tusk. And I run over, and I get the head curator. I'm like, look what I found. He goes, oh, yeah, we found that yesterday.
Oh.
Indiana Jones for like 10 minutes.
Want to get away?
Yeah.
But so then I took a job as a defense contractor, well-paying job in D.C. Mm-hmm. I was selling medical software to the forces.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that is federal sales are just long and boring. And I said, this stinks. So I was 49. My dad died at 50. Mm-hmm. Bucket list time.
Gotcha. Mm.
So I sold most of my stuff, hopped on my bicycle, and rode through Canada and the U.S. for 18 months.
On your bike?
On a bike.
Wow.
Only got hit once. That's pretty good.
Boy, I bet you learned a lot on that trip.
And when I ended up in Huntington Beach, my cousin called me and he said, hey, I'm taking my family to Vietnam. He's a commercial airline pilot. He got a really good contract. Do you want a house sit? So that was 2011. I came over to a dark house and an angry cat. And
oh, on Vashon, he wanted you a house sit.
Yeah, and here I am.
Oh,
the thing that wouldn't leave.
Isn't that interesting? And so... did you fall in love with Vashon, or did you just kind of think, okay, I guess I'll stay
here?
Well,
it was, I didn't know a soul, and there wasn't anybody in the house. I did a lot of jigsaw puzzles. I was dating this woman in Toronto, so I didn't really go out. Yeah, that's a weird story. Went to high school together in Tennessee. She ended up in Toronto.
Oh.
And, yeah, I was there on my bike trip.
Toronto.
And, yeah, it was a torrid two-year relationship. And
we've all had those, Chris.
It probably would have been 6 months if you had been in the same place.
See, yeah, the long distance thing, there's something there.
Yeah. But the thing was that I didn't go out and meet people because, you know, I was with her.
Yeah.
And then the winter started.
The rain.
I was not built for that, boy. I tell you, I still have got a lot to suffer through for these winters.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, here I am.
This has been a long one, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It feels to me like it has anyway.
I don't think it's been any longer than any other, but
I think
it does,
I say that every
some
year.
Reason. You mentioned the mental health thing too, and statistically April and October are the most active months in the mental health industry.
Is that right?
Because we're coming out of long winter.
Oh yeah.
And spring, the earth is pulling a lot of energy out of us when spring comes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the combination of the two, coming out of the dark into the light and the earth's energetic pull, kind of wears a person out. So, and, you know, by that time, you're depressed anyway.
Oh, yeah. I think my worst month is February.
It has
been historically my whole life.
February 6th is the worst day of the month for you?
February 6th?
Yeah, what's my birthday?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why
it is. So specific. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. I always swear that every year I say, next February, I am not going to be here. And it never happens.
It's going to be somewhere warm.
I get over it by March, you know?
So, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
The daffies poke out.
So, Chris, you just do all kinds of interesting things on the island. Chris is also an author. He's written three
books? Little silly books. For about the history of the island.
They're fun.
I started reading, It's Your History in the Beachcomber.
Oh.
I was the first guy to do that.
And so, have you always been a history buff?
Yes.
Yeah?
And I think I get it from my father.
Okay.
He was read history. He should have been. He was a dentist. So that's where I got the whole dental
gig.
So
then you went to be a dentist.
Yeah. Yeah, another big mistake. But, yeah, so that's where I think I get that. He had a love of history. And if I had to do it over, I would be probably a geologist or a paleontologist because it's a history of the earth.
Of the earth.
Yeah.
Like we get out of our vans and there's this big vista of a valley. And they're like, oh, well, you can see where this, you know, eroded here in the Mesozoic. And this, and I'm like, I was so fascinated.
It is fascinating.
So did you study zoology as a for dentistry?
Yeah, I was a biology major to get all the pre-dental classes in.
And there's a connection there to the paleontology. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely would have been a science guy in something.
Yeah.
I've always been drawn to that. So, and I appreciate what I learned in dentistry. I didn't like the practice of it. It's kind of repetitive and nobody likes what you're selling. But, you know, we studied a cadaver for 6 months and not a lot of people get to do that legally. And so.
Legally being the operative word. Yeah.
Do you then know the geologic origins of Vashon Island?
Yes.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, Vashon was formed with the melting of the ice sheets. This is called the Vashon Lobe, and it's between the Cascade and Olympic Mountains. At this point, the ice was 3,000 feet thick. Mm. 3,000. Imagine
3,000 feet.
3,000 feet.
So half a mile almost.
So three Columbia buildings and maybe a ladder to get to the top of it.
Wow.
And as it eroded, it was going at some points 15 feet a day back. Millions and millions of gallons of water were eroding out from under these ice sheets as they melted.
Is that another global warming thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what they did was they formed temporary rivers that formed what's called drumlins. And those are long, low hills. So when you drive on Bank Road, you're going up and down over those drumlins.
Oh.
So those valleys were where those temporary rivers were. And
really? Wow.
And it left what's called Vashon Till, which is the all the stones that was all ground mm-hmm. up by glaciers mm-hmm. as they moved. Erratics, those big rocks that are in the middle of nowhere, they just dropped out. You know, when they were picked up when the glaciers came down, and when they melted, they just dropped out randomly, and that's how you
so,
get
that. So was Vashon ever part of the mainland? Did it break off?
No, it didn't break off. But underneath all of that ice, there were rivers that eroded the channels around us.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we got there.
Interesting. So bring us some new history.
Well, you know, when you talk about the women, influential mm-hmm. women,
yeah,
I think one that really bears repeating is a woman named Lucy Duran.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Native American. She was born in 1836. And she died of tuberculosis in 1929. And she was put in an unmarked grave until 2008 at the Vashon Cemetery, where the Puyallup tribe came and gave her headstone and honored her. But she was really influential because in 1854, there was the Medicine Creek Treaty, which really stole a bunch of land from the people that lived in that area. And she went to that as a young woman.
And where was that?
I think it was in Seattle where physically
in
was.
In this
oh, yeah,
region.
It was the southern part of the Puget Sound. And then in 1927, or in the 1920s, first she met with a guy named T.T. Waterman, who was an anthropologist. And she kind of filled out of how we lived, where we lived, how do we get food, where do we get food. And he put all of that in his Puget Sound geography book. And then later in the decade, in 1927, there was the Native Reclamation trial. And that was to reassess how the federal government took that land. And she was a star witness.
Mm.
And just, again, told everybody, this is where we lived. This is where we clammed. This is where we got fish. And she was instrumental. And she was just a great historian. And we know a lot about how they live today because of her.
They being the natives.
Mm-hmm. The people that lived here.
What do we know about how they live?
Well, you know, when Vancouver showed up about 1792, they think there were about 650 Native Americans here.
On the island.
On the island.
Okay.
And they mostly lived around Quartermaster Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of protected. But what he also noticed was they had smallpox scars.
Mm. Oh.
So these people had gotten smallpox as it migrated all across the nation to here. And also there was green glass and things like that, iron nails that were traded all the way from the East Coast. But, you know, they would fish, and they weren't really hierarchical tribes like, you know, the chieftain in mm-hmm. the Plain mm-hmm. States. They were more like intermarriage and you know, we got an agreement. You can fish over here at this time of year if we can hunt over here at this time of year. And one of the things they would do is kind of they would clear a meadow, and that's where they would get blueberries and things like that.
They cultivated them?
The log it, you mean?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess they would just take saplings down. I don't think they did a lot of logging. Mm-hmm. But they would just naturally growing fruit in, you know, vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
But what would happen is the settlers came in and like, hey, look at this open field. I'm going to build my house. Yeah. And that's what happened. That's kind
and that was their food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the first places they settled was where Salmon had his cabin, Fort Necessity, which is right, you know, where Pioneer Monument is.
Oh, yeah. Right.
On yes. End Monument Road.
Yeah, okay. Kind of in the middle of the
yeah,
island.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking at Quartermaster Harbor, over your shoulder is a freshwater spring, and that's why that was a great place. It was easy access to, the enclosed Quartermaster mm-hmm. Harbor, and it was fresh water and all that stuff. And so that's where Native Americans had their permanent longhouses around there.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you know about the Native? You said it wasn't hierarchical necessarily, but was it patriarchal, matriarchal?
It was patriarchal, as far as I know, yeah.
Okay. I've been reading a lot lately about different matriarchal tribes, and that, some women in some tribes pretty much controlled everything, and they had a voice in voting and their tribal villages and that kind of thing. But apparently that wasn't the case here.
I don't think so.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm not an expert on it by any means.
And I was reading about tribes from the East Coast. So they're different
from
what we know here. Well, let's move a little forward into the future.
Okay.
What kinds of interesting things, maybe scallywags, maybe... tell us a funny.
What?
I know, that was pretty hard.
That's always good, yeah. Be funny.
Be funny. No pressure.
Make me laugh real.
Yeah, right.
The future. Well, I don't know what the future holds.
Jesus. No, I mean the future from Native American times.
Oh, I see.
And we're moving into the future, like maybe the 1920s or the 1940s. Oh, or
okay.
Sort of milestones. Are there milestones in Vashon's history? Like something big might have happened or didn't? Or was supposed to?
Well, I mean, certainly the World Wars made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also what happened is as Seattle got more... Oh, I got one for you. 1920s, big agriculture crash. That sector of the economy totally crashed.
Nationwide? Or here?
Here for sure. Don't know about nationwide. We lost 40% of our population because no agriculture jobs. Reason was... Birdseye had invented the refrigerated rail car. So now you could buy cheap land out in Nowheresville and then have it sent to the cities rather than growing it, we were growing it next to the city for vegetables and things like that. So because of that, we became niche farmers, and that's where we got the chickens because you can't really freeze the eggs and send them. So we became this chicken empire.
So, excuse me, for our listeners who don't know, tell us a little about the chicken empire.
Well, we exported 18 million eggs a year.
I just find that phenomenal.
We had 150,000 laying hens. We would have egg-laying competition, which lasted a year. So you would enter your hen.
Oh, sure.
And then... there'd be in a coop that nobody could get into except the judges, and they would judge all these, how many eggs you put out. And it was big money because once that hen, won, then their chicks from that hen were
sent.
He's
a breeder. Oh,
yeah, it was like a purebred dog or something. Mm-hmm. And they would send them all over the world.
Interesting.
Wow.
So people
you
think have a green thumb, their house was on a chicken guano. That's what's going on.
That's a lot of chickens for this tiny island.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. And that also did the Beale greenhouses. They were just fruits and vegetables.
And then they became flowers.
It was a niche market. So those were kind of milestones that pushed us in a different direction.
Well, then I think it was Mukai who developed... refrigeration for shipping
for the strawberries.
But close.
What he developed was a way to pack them. He put in strawberries and then sugar and then strawberries and sugar and strawberry sugar.
Ah, okay.
And then they would send the barrels to Seattle where they were cold storage, and then they could ship them over everywhere.
So they weren't frozen here.
No. Okay. No, no.
Okay.
So that was a way to begin to revitalize the agricultural business here.
Well, this was in the 30s when he was doing this. Mm-hmm. And he became extremely wealthy because of this innovation. Mm-hmm. And then he retired and I don't know if he got an official divorce, but he left to go to Japan and visit the world. And Kato, his wife, gosh. And I'm sorry, I'm messing up her name. But she stayed here.
Cooney.
She stayed and did the, ran the farm. And one of the interesting things, you know, the little garden that's there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she actually patterned that after her, back in Japan. Her father was a landscaper, but that was a forbidden profession for women. But it wasn't here. So she did that. And in today's money, that would have cost about $750,000 to make that.
Wow. You know, so let's go back just a little bit and talk about what Mukai is now and what it was.
Well, it was a working strawberry farm. But mm-hmm. they did a lot of stuff. They did strawberries. They did... I met the grandson. He's 80 now. Really sharp guy. And they did Loganberries, I think it was.
Oh, they did.
And wow. They had all these Loganberries. They couldn't sell them. They did Loganberry sodas. They did Loganberry ice cream. And yeah. So
they're so good, though.
Well, wow. They weren't a big seller.
Yeah.
But it was strawberries. And they would bring in about 500 workers a year mm-hmm. to work the fields.
Wow.
Yeah. And
large
then
employer.
It got, when he left, it got handed over to Cooney and his son. And his son was born in the United States, so he could buy the land. Yeah, B.D. Mukai, he could not. He could only lease land, and that's one of the reasons they went into strawberries, because it's low capital investment, and it's a small plot of land for mm-hmm. high profit margin, because mm-hmm. they're just so hard to grow mm-hmm. and they're so hard to harvest. They rake down to the ground, and you know they bruise easily. They're a tough fruit to do. Anyway. So then in the 60s, they started changing the migrant worker laws. They had to make them, you know, more humane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that kind of, then it became like a U-pick sort of situation.
Ah.
Yeah. But the house, the Mukai house, interesting, that was designed by BD. And he was born in Japan, but he was so enamored with the U.S. culture that that looks like Beaver Cleaver could walk out of that house.
It does.
He designed that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, and yet his wife made the Japanese garden. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and somewhere in there, like in the 40s, they didn't actually get sent to the internment camps because they managed to leave, I believe, for Oregon.
No, Idaho.
For Idaho.
Yep, okay. Yep.
Before the internment started.
Exactly, the exclusion zone.
Yes, but I don't know who was taking care of that place while they were gone.
His son was working the farm at that time, and he was friends with a lieutenant colonel in the army. And the lieutenant colonel said, "You got to get out now.
What?
Because when this order comes out and you're in that 40-mile exclusion zone, mm-hmm. you're going.
You're going.
If you're not there, then you don't have to." So he picked up.
What
and
a good
left.
Friend.
Yeah, he picked up and left. Friend. And Sheriff Shattuck kept a lot of these farms kind of going,
mm-hmm.
and you know, people that chose to come back to the island, you know, they could get, you know, neighbors would help and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. But you also had just pure discrimination and hatred. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of Japanese houses were burnt to the ground so they couldn't return.
Oh,
that was awful.
Oh,
yeah.
Awful. Well, we at one point were really known for strawberry export.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The Marshall strawberry is kind of a big apple looking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we have, I think, you know, let's talk a little bit about the tours that you do, because I know this is a little personal aside. A couple of years ago, I asked Chris if he would be willing to take some friends and me around the island, some people who didn't live here, who were here from, one from Tucson and two from California. So we piled in the car and we just had a wonderful tour and found things that nobody knows are there.
That's the mostly true part. Well, you've taken, Susan, have you taken it?
I have.
Yeah, you were on the bus, weren't you?
I was on the bus. I was one of your inaugural tours.
Yeah.
I haven't.
What?
I know. So I like it because I'm kind of listening and learning as we go. Did you see all the notes I took?
I'm
a student.
I
don't play. So thank you for all that.
Well, it's changed quite a bit. And Susan was one of the first, and I'd rent a bus. I'd rent the first, what do they call it?
One of the little buses.
Yeah.
First student.
First student, thank you.
Cool.
And it'd have a driver, and then I would stand up, and I'd try and, you know, do my gig. Yeah, exactly.
He was funny.
I'm sure he was.
Well, that's tried to be. But
he was funny in the car, too.
Was there alcohol?
No.
Okay, never mind.
As I recall, there were some alcohol stops.
I had a bunch of 30-somethings that grew up on the island.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, you want to do a, what they call it?
Bong rip? Just kidding.
It was called a meat shooter.
What?
And I said, I don't think you can do that in public. Okay. I said, what's a meat shooter? And it's steak sauce on your hand.
Yeah.
And it's a cube of cooked steak.
This is actually a meat shooter.
Yeah. And then you wash it down with bourbon.
Ew.
I didn't do it during the tour, but I had one at the end. But they bought in the biggest whiskey bottle I've ever seen. It must have been 3 feet high.
I'm like, they liked it. You know, you have to be a bourbon drinker to like that.
Yeah.
I'm with you with the A1 and the steak.
We're going to take a real quick break and be right back.
Oh, all right.
Gotta.
It's the Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Puget Sound Energy. If you're looking to save money on your energy bills, PSE offers rebates on a variety of products and equipment to help you upgrade the comfort and efficiency of your home. Visit pse.com/rebates to learn more.
And we're back.
And we're back. You're listening to The Claps on The Voice of Vashon. And we are in the studio talking with Chris Austin about a little bit about Vashon's history and personality. I think, you know, some of the people who know Vashon but don't live here, when I tell them where I live, they'll say, oh, you're so Vashon. Or, oh, that's so Vashon, you know. And part of that is community. Part of that is a certain look. Part of that is an attitude.
Yeah.
And I know, Chris, that you have discovered or know of some sort of colorful personalities that have lived on Vashon from time to time.
Three of them are in this room.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice. There's a couple of things. For instance, back in the 1890s, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was counterfeiting coins on the island.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the county sheriff came over before he had a jail or any kind of police department, and they took him away.
We have a police department?
No, we didn't. They had to come over in a boat.
Do we have one now?
Oh.
I saw a police car the other day.
Wow. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. We had a lot of distilleries during Prohibition.
We did.
Cool. Yeah. And there was one operation where they had a furniture truck, and they would take furniture off the island, and inside was the booze. And then they'd come back with furniture, and inside was sugar and all the raw materials. There was one guy down by, I think it was Tahlequah, that he kind of got into his own product. And the sheriff went and arrested him and brought him to the dock in a wheelbarrow because he was so stinking drunk.
Well, he liked his product.
Yeah. Must have been good.
Well, we did have a robbery, a bank robbery.
We did.
The Vashon Bank was, you know, where the parking lot of People's Bank, that's where the bank was. And the president of the bank lived just a block over or less. And he heard something banging. Well, first of all, they had the a most awesome theft deterrent, which was a mop in the window.
Ooh,
a mop in the window.
A mop in the window. Because everybody in town knew if the mop's in the window, everything's cool at the bank.
Really?
If the mop isn't in the window, then something hinky's going on.
Ooh.
So I really don't know how that was supposed to work. Like, you know, I'm going to give you your money. I got a spill over here. I got to get the mop kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know how that was going to work. Huh. But this was in the middle of the night. The bank president hears something banging noise. And he opens his windows. That's way off. That's nothing. Well, what he was hearing were people in his bank bashing the vault with a sledgehammer.
Oh, my Lord.
And they got away with, I don't know, 100 pounds worth of coins, bearer bonds, jewelry, money, put it in sacks, and they ran down to the beach and stole a rowboat. Grand Theft Rowboat.
Enterprise.
Grand Theft Rowboat.
Never caught them.
Oh, never caught
they got them. Away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, you know, I used to think that it was impossible to steal cars here because who's going to steal a car and how are you going to get off right. the island?
Well,
in December and January of this year, December of 21 and January of 22, up at the North End, I think two or three cars were stolen and taken wow. off island.
That's really...
The thieves got the timing right. Yep. They stole them at 3 o'clock in the morning yep. and took yep. the 4 a.m. ferry off.
Just like, okay, we're going to catch the 4:05.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right.
Goodbye.
And who's on that, you know?
Wow, that is a commuter. It should be suspect
yeah,
for
no,
that.
No. That sounds like an islander.
Yeah, right.
Well, right.
Exactly.
Right. Somebody inside job.
Understood the ferries, yeah.
Well, fascinating.
One last one yeah. I think is so interesting is this happened in the 70s, and there was a couple of guys that wanted to go to a party, and they were off-islanders. And they were trying to get down to Gold Beach, and the sheriff was there, and they'd had complaints. And he said, you guys can't go to this party. You know, it was a big dance party or something. He said, you know, buzz off. Well, they got really mad, and they wanted to stick it to the man. So they built a bomb, and they blew up. You know where that space is, where the crazy sculpture is, right by the pharmacy?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it blew up.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and it was an insurance company and a courthouse.
There?
Yeah.
Huh.
And the pharmacy got hit, and they had to rebuild that, and they've just never rebuilt that plot.
Did they get the guy?
Yeah, guys? Yeah. They got away, but they did catch him. And they were just given slaps on the hand. I've forgotten what the penalty was, but it was nothing.
Just like today.
Well,
history repeating itself.
Yeah, right, exactly.
If you're a white male, yeah,
pretty much.
So that was pretty weird.
Wow. Yes.
I like that story.
I like that story, too. You also were telling me the other day, and I don't remember the details, but the Prohibition thing about where the first bar that opened?
The very first bar after Prohibition was where the Mermaid is now.
Where the Mermaid is.
It was Beach Tavern.
Really?
Yeah,
and it was the same building, right?
I think so. Well, same spot.
Same spot.
Probably the same building. But it was Beach Tavern was the name of it.
That was the first on the island or the first in the state or what?
No, the first on the island opened after Prohibition. Oh. You know, there were bars before that, but, legally open. Yeah.
Right.
That is something to be celebrated, I think. You know, and if they is that bar open down the hill? Did they open it
now? Yeah. No, not yet.
Come on, man.
I don't think so. Are they open?
I thought so.
See, they opened a long time ago, and then they closed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah,
they've been closed for quite a while.
Well, last time there was a VOV party.
Oh yeah,
that was a long time.
That was before COVID.
Yeah. Okay.
No, they're open off and on. But I don't know if the bar is open. I know the little
store
is open. The
bar has not been open for a while because they had some. They have trouble staffing it for one thing.
Is there a centurion anniversary coming up here?
Heidi wants to plan a party.
Because I want a party. I'm there. I can walk. But I mean, really, when did Prohibition end? I don't even know.
33.
Okay, so we still got about 11
years. So we have 1933.
You mean a party to celebrate the first bar? Yeah, it's...
Well, we can have one next year and just be the 90th.
90th anniversary. Or the 89th.
Or the 89th.
Really.
Or how about we just go?
This is the new Roaring Twenties. We got to throw it out in
so many ways.
Right?
Yes.
Seriously. Yeah. What you got, Chris?
Well, one cool story that is kind of a crime. Not really.
Oh, good.
So... This is how great the islanders are. So there's at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's some islanders. They knock on the door.
When are we talking about?
60s, I believe.
Okay.
And they open the door, and here's kind of this well-dressed young man who doesn't know where he is.
Oh.
And they're like, "Whoa, what's going on, young man?" He said, "I'm pledging a fraternity, and I've been blindfolded for hours, and they dropped me off right by your house, and they left. I have no idea where I am. I don't know how I'm going to get home." He said, "Where are you from?" He said, "University of Oregon."
Oh my God.
That's great.
Yes. So what this guy did is he was a pilot, private pilot, and they got in their private plane, and they flew him back to his fraternity house, and he was on the couch waiting for these guys.
When they got mad.
That is great.
How cool is that?
That is a great story. Yes. I wonder where he is today.
Yeah, really.
It'd be fun to find him. That's quite a
That's an incredible story.
That's a great story, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's something Truman O'Brien would do.
That's true.
I was just thinking about Truman.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I'm just thinking about Truman, thinking about how calm he is. And he would have done that. Yeah. He would have done that for sure.
Let's go fire up the plane.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the Heritage Museum.
Yes.
And what's going on there right now. For those of you who don't know, we have a beautiful little museum that reflects the very beginnings of Vashon up to contemporary days, and they do really thoughtful exhibits, very well curated and put together. What's going on now?
Well, currently we have something called a Natural Wonder Exhibit, which is in conjunction with the Vashon Hum. The Nature Center.
Got this. And a little bit of the whole Vashon project and a little bit of Island Green Tech.
Yes.
Right.
But it's a wonderful exhibit. It shows how the island was developed and, you know, different types of rock on the island. And it's absolutely stupendous. Now, what we're also doing, this thing is slated to be through 2023.
Oh.
But we're doing mini exhibits in, you know, the way that kind of dovetail with the big exhibit. The one that opened last Friday is birds.
Oh,
it's wonderful! Oh. They've got all these photographs, like hummingbirds, and they've got videos.
Some of it Jim Deere's work.
I'm not sure. Probably. They're like 30 photographers.
Oh, that's wonderful!
Man. Yeah,
oh,
I'm gonna go see that. And they've got video and bird calls, and it's just.
And isn't there a Zoom thing going on with the birds and the history
museum? Yes, that's
museum.
On the 10th. That's this Thursday.
I'm registered for that. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be really good.
Yeah. I'm one of the hosts, so I'll give you a shout out.
Okay. That'll be good. Yeah, I'm looking
to get a free ticket.
That's right. To a free show.
That's interesting. I'm very interested in the birds on Vashon, and I know nothing about them. I see them. I like them. I hear them. But I don't know who they are. And so I'm gonna learn something from this Zoom.
That's gonna be cool.
I know. You guys got any questions? Any ideas?
Well, I was thinking about birds, but I have a sad bird story.
Oh no.
I have had a bird feeder in my front yard for a long time, and I just love watching them. And I have also a gigantic, one of the oldest pine trees on the island in my front yard. And so the other day, I heard a thump on one of my windows that is right above my roof. Mm-hmm. And I looked out, and it was a beautiful variegated thrush who had hit my window. And while I was looking at her and trying to figure out how to get to her, a hawk came and grabbed her and took her off. I looked in this bird's eyes as the hawk was taking it away. It was gut-wrenching.
Oh no.
And so I have written to Audubon to find out, you know, am I providing a buffet for this hawk now in my front yard?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I'm waiting to hear from them, but I'm thinking I'm not going to feed them for a while.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
Can we go a minute over?
Yeah.
I got a great story. Okay. Right up by you. I'll be really fast. This was in the 70s. There was an old tree there, and it had an eagle's nest. And every year, the eagle would come and nest into sight. Mm-hmm. And the tree was dying, so there wasn't a lot of foliage. You could see him. It was just gorgeous.
Mm.
Well, it was on this guy's land, and he said, hey, we got to cut this thing down. It's dying. You know, this tree is going to fall over. King County comes in and says, yep, we're going to, it's going to fall over. Danger. And he was surrounded by other private landowners. None of them would let King County come in to cut the tree down.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yes, that's exactly what they said. Windstorm comes up, tree falls over, hits his house, nearly kills his wife.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
I would beat the hell out of every one of those neighbors.
Yes. Right. I'm with you. Chris, it's
what happened to the eagle?
Ooh. We just nested in
the
tree over.
They found a different tree. Yeah, they moved. They just relocated.
We're running out of trees.
Well, Chris, gosh, we're already out of time.
This was so much fun.
I'm just so glad you came to visit us. Thank you so much. And we'll come back again.
Thanks for listening. You're listening to KBSH LP.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you.
I like quite a spirit.
Bye-bye.
Did it shave asparagus?
Uh-huh. It's just
does that mean it was hairy before you started?